Amen. Mother's Day 2018. Are you guys excited this morning? You all, everything prepared to go out and have you called your mother? This side is in shock. This side, I believe you. I don't know about this side. You know, listen, this morning, Mother's Day 2018, the most important thing I believe in my heart that I can say, not just to every woman, but primarily to every mother, future mothers, divorced mothers, newly married mothers, single mothers, whatever it might be, stay-at-home moms, mothers who work outside the home, whatever. The greatest thing I can tell you this morning, listen carefully now, has absolutely nothing to do with raising your children. So I'm not going to be really addressing that, only briefly this morning. You know, and I'm not here to tell you whether you should be a stay-at-home mom or have a career outside the home. I'm not here to say, you know, the most important thing is, do you homeschool, do you public school, or do you just go ahead and put them in reform school? You know what I mean. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm not even going to talk to you about how to lovingly discipline your children in God's way, although that is, all those things are very, very important. But the greatest thing that I can tell every mother this morning, and I pray you take it to heart, and that is that you find your true self and your true identity only in Christ Jesus the Lord. What do I mean by that? Well, in other words, you know, your identity, if you work outside the home, you're a career mother. Praise God. But you know what? That's not your identity. Amen? And if you are a stay-at-home mom, that is not your identity either. When you find your identity in Christ, and you find it first, you know, your divine role from God is precious in God's sight. Don't get me wrong. But you know, the thing is that it's not about you gaining identity through being a mother or through your husband or whatnot. No, listen, your self-worth is not based on anything or anyone except the one who died for your sins. Amen? And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen carefully now. Please don't respond when asked. I want to make sure I say this just the way I put it down. Please don't respond, moms, when asked, what do you do? And respond this way. Oh, I'm just a mother, or I'm just a wife, or I'm just a mom. Listen to me now. You are much more than just a mother, and you are so much more than just a wife. Be the best mother, the best wife, yes, that you can be. Yes, being a mother is a high calling and a divine calling from Almighty God. But listen, don't find yourself and identify yourself in motherhood. Nothing. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. It's vital. It's important. That is, of course, being a mom. But loved one, listen, you must find your identity in the one who loves you, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, you're just not a mother. You're a mother that has been given a supernatural gift, a perfect gift from heaven. Amen? Amen? The Bible tells us, all of us, just not men. It says in 1 Peter 4:10, each one, moms, dad, everyone, every believer, each one has received a gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't learn it. It was a gift from God. It says a gift, a spiritual gift. And it goes, minister, or literally use it one to another as good stewards. It doesn't belong to you. You're not the owner. It comes from heaven, of the manifold grace of God. You see, being a mother is a wonderful, thank God for mothers, but if you waste that supernatural gift, not talking about being a mother, not being about your divine role, but about the special gift that God has placed in every believer and every mother, and to waste your gift is then to waste part of your life. If you nurture your gifting that God has placed in you, just like you nurture the child that you might be raising. Listen, you are not just a mother. You are more than a mother. Do you know that you too are an ambassador of Christ? Do you know that God has also given unto you the ministry of reconciliation? Just, you say, well, Bill, that's really for the guys. Where do we hear that? I've been hearing things like that. Oh, no, loved one, listen. No, listen, how about Phoebe? Let me tell you about a great woman of God, Romans 16:1. And I'll have you turn in a little bit to Deuteronomy 6 and Luke chapter 10, by the way, in case you were, Bill, we're going to open our Bibles. Yes, we will. Romans 16:1, Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, that her name means light or radiant or bright. Phoebe, who our sister in the Lord, who is a servant, a diakonos, a servant of the Lord. Maybe she was a deaconess, but she was a servant of the church of Cenchrea. That was a seaport there near Corinth. Now listen, we don't know anything about this wonderful, radiant woman except what God told us in His word. We know that she was a Gentile. We don't know if she's married. We don't know if she has any children. She doesn't give us that information. But we do know one thing. She was a servant of the church. And in that one word carries thousands of acts of goodness and kindness and love and changing the lives of others. Why? She was Phoebe. She was a light. Do you understand? She was radiant. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Phoebe had problems in her life, ladies? Do you think maybe she had time constraints? And if she had children, do you think her hands were full? And if she had a husband, do you think her hands were really full? Amen? Yes, absolutely. But you know what? She made time for Jesus. She wasn't a spectator. She was a participator. Listen to Romans 16:2, that you may receive her, Paul says, meaning to those in Rome, in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, assist her in whatever business she has need of. For indeed she has been, Paul writes, a helper to many, and of myself also. Paul says, I'm indebted to her as well. So this incredible woman, I believe she was a mother. I believe she was married. Listen very carefully. What did Paul do to this mother, this woman named Phoebe, this servant in the church? He put into her hands the Magna Carta, if you will, of the New Testament, the book of Romans, entrusted into her possession. Deliver this to the saints of God there. What is that, one of the greatest privileges ever given unto a woman? I think, listen, to be able to take those 16 chapters, as we call them today, the greatest book probably ever written. Oh my gosh, justification, sanctification, identification, who we are in Christ, all that we need to be. I look and I say, oh, she did that. Loved one, listen to me, ladies, mothers, all of you. Women have always played a great role in the body of Christ. Study it out. And I pray that every woman here, every mother here, I pray that you rise up and you follow her example as well. Why? Because you're just not a mother. You are more than a mother. How about Deborah? Go study out the book of Judges. I think you'll find her in Judges 5 and 4 and 5. Study her out. Man, listen, what a warrior for God. She delivered her people Israel. Matter of fact, in Judges chapter 5, verse 7, you know what she's called? She's called the mother of Israel. And then look at Esther, how Esther stood up and saved her entire people, all the Jews, from genocide. Listen, God uses everyone. Amen? Male, female. Listen, you're just as anointed as any man. Amen? Very important that we really grasp that. See, you're just not a mother. You're more than a mother. And if you want to put a label on yourself, ladies, listen, moms, why don't you put this label on you? Salt of the earth. How's that one? Amen? Salt of the earth. I like that. You should put that on your refrigerator. Matter of fact, you should put it on your bumper sticker of your car. You know, what am I? I'm the salt of the earth. I'm a mother. Listen, your child that you hold in your arms, are you there raised, they're older, you know, whatever, they need to look at you and realize, you know what, the lady, the woman who held me in my arms, nursed me, took care of me and fed me, clothed me, never left me, never forsook me. Listen, she is indeed the salt of the earth. Jesus called you the exact same thing as he looked out there on the Sermon of the Mount over all the peasants, the fishermen, the farmers and women and everybody. And he said unto them in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth, meaning the only salt of the earth. There's not any others, those that who believe in Christ. Did you know during the time of Jesus that salt was one of the most valuable resources around. Soldiers were paid in salt at times. That's where you've heard that expression, you're not worth your salt or whatever. Not only that, you know what? You are not only valuable as a mom to your child, of course, to your husband and all those other things, but you are the salt of the earth, which means you are valuable all over the world. Amen? So important for us to see that. What does salt do? Salt changes things. Salt preserves things. You know, you put salt and rub it into the meat and whatnot. If you had a glass of water, you know, or if you right now and you took a drink of it, and it'd be okay. But if you put a teaspoon of salt, would it change it? You can't get the salt out. In other words, be a salty mom, okay? Matter of fact, just be a salty wife too, you know? Yeah, these husbands need to be straightened out. Come on, man. This is a first service. I'm testing out everything on you to see what I don't need to do in the next service. So you better be real. Listen, salt preserves. You be a salty mother if you have children. Why? Because you'll stop the world from rotting your child. Amen? You don't want the world to do that. Not only that, you know what? You need to label yourself just not salt, but how about light? Label yourself light. Your child needs to know if you have children. You need to know, Mom, listen to me now. You need to know that you are indeed, like Jesus said, he said, you alone are the light of the world. And he said, you're a city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp, it says, Jesus said, and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it may give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, and here's the reason, the purpose, that you may, or they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Ladies, listen, you're God's light. You're God's lamp. Now, I want you to turn, we're just going to be there for a moment, to Deuteronomy. That's over in the Old Testament. We're only going to be there for a little bit. Look at chapter 6 with me. And I want you to go to chapter 6, verse 7, Deuteronomy. Now, remember, when the second generation, the first generation died in the wilderness, the second generation, now Moses is giving his farewell address, and he's talking to them because they're going, Joshua will lead them then out of the wilderness into the promised land. So he's telling them what they need to be doing. Look at verse 7, this commandment that to the second generation here. It says, you, and that's mothers and dads, but I'm talking to moms right now. He says, you shall teach them, meaning the word of God, how? What's that word? Diligently. To your children, you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You'll bind them on a sign on your hand. They shall be frontlets to you between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. Now listen, that's the old covenant, I know. Now it's written on our hearts. But oh, what wisdom. You're getting ready to go into a brand new territory. And may I say that getting married is a brand new territory? And having children is a tremendously brand new territory. Amen? God says, you're getting ready to go someplace, the land that I'm giving you. And he says, I want you, moms, I want you to teach your children. Of course, dads are included, but I'm speaking to mothers. Diligently. And not only diligently, he says, I want you to do it repeatedly, not just once, day and night. And then I want you to do it in the natural realm, when you're sitting, when you're lying down, when you're walking, when you're talking, when you're tucking them in at night. He says, I want you to do that. And all of this is to take place, mothers, in your home. Now, but wait. See, you say, you can really grasp that. That's what I'm to do. But there's something that's missing. You see, before Moses commanded the moms and the dads to teach their children, he told them first they had to do something else. Look right there at verse, well, let's look at verse 1. It says, now this is the commandment, these statutes that God has commanded to teach them, that you may observe them in the land, and that you crossing over to possess, that you may hear the Lord, fear the Lord your God, keep all his statutes, his commandments, which I command you, and your son, and your grandson, and all the days of your life, that your days may be many. Now drop down to verse 4. Now look what he says. Hear, O Israel. We call that the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And ye shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your what? Heart. What do we call that verse in the New Testament? The Great Commandment. Amen. Matthew 23, verse 37, I believe it is. In other words, when the lawyer came to Jesus, out of all the commandments, 613, Lord, which one is the greatest? Jesus immediately quoted that, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Upon these hang all the prophets and the law. Loved one, what did God say to do, moms, before you ever touch your child, teach your child? He said, here's what has to happen. You have to love me. If you're not in love with me, you're not going to be able to ever teach your children the right way that they should go. Amen? So see, the priority is not identify, okay, I'm a mom. Yes, but you're really not a true mom unless you are in God's word doing it God's way. Amen? Are you all with me? Boy, this is so important. Listen, there's only one God, he says. Boy, isn't that great? You don't need to search the world over. It settles it right there. Again, that's part of our vision statement, the great commandment. Now, so before you were a wife, ladies, before you became a mother, the first thing you became a child of the living God. See, you are more than just a mother. If you don't know who you are in Christ, remember Paul writing to Philemon in verse 6, he said, acknowledging everything which is in you, which is in Christ, every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, if you don't know that, then you're in trouble. And if you don't renew your mind to the Word of God, like it says in Romans 12, 2, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what it means to renew your mind, don't you? Have you ever remodeled, say, your home? And you go out there and say, here's my home. It's a junk. It's a pile of junk. Everything's falling apart. You go in it and you gut it and then you renew it and you go, now, man, that's new. That's what you have to do with your mind. You have to take the junk of the world out and renew it with God's word. When you become a mother, if you don't do those things and you become a mom, listen to me now, the enemy is going to come against you, and you know what he's going to try to do? He's going to try to give you a new identity. He wants to put a new label on you, and the word is failure. Every mother, every father has felt at one time like a failure. Amen? If that's not you, then you need to come and counsel me because I want you to tell me why you've never felt that way. No, listen. You see, the devil lies to you, moms. He hates you. He hates your children. He wants you to believe a lie. He wants you to receive his label, you know, and so forth. He doesn't want you. He hates a mother that will do it God's way. Guide the home. Guide the children. Raise them God's way. Listen, you're just not a mother. You are more than just a mother. You are a walking warrior in the power of his might. Amen? You know what you do? You have to defeat the lies of the enemy. You do so by taking up the shield of faith by which you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And you say, well, Bill, you don't know what I'm going through. No, but God does. Yeah, but, you know, I used to have a label called victor. Now I have a label called victim. My husband walked out on me. He left me with all my children. Now, look at me. I'm a loser. Don't you ever, in the name of Jesus, put that thought in your mind or in your heart. Amen? That should never, ever be there. No, listen, you're not a failure. You're never going to be a failure. You know why? Because the Bible is never telling you a lie. It always tells you the truth. What does it say in Romans 8:37? For you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen? You're more than a conqueror. You're super conquerors. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2, 9 and 10, it says, listen, you are complete in him, complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a co-heir with Christ. You're a daughter, a child of the living God. Your name is written in the book of life. Colossians 3:3 says that your life is hidden in God with Christ Jesus. That denotes perfect, ongoing, eternal security. No one will ever take you out of your... Don't you ever accept a label from the world or from the devil. Amen? Your label, your identification comes from Almighty God. Think about Rahab for a minute. Have you ever studied out Rahab? Remember who she was there in the book of Joshua? She was the prostitute, and the spies came into the land and said, listen, you saved my, you know, and she hid the soldiers. You know the story. And so she said, listen, when you come back, you're going to destroy this city. I want you to save my household, me and my household. And they said, well, you just tie that scarlet ribbon there in your window. And of course, you know the story that happened. But you know, if you really study out the life about that farmer prostitute, people visited her all the time. She was known everywhere, Rahab was. Guess who she married? She saved those guys and went with the children of Israel. She married a man named Salmon, who was a prince of the tribe of Judah. And then you know who Salmon married? Then Salmon, you know, or whether they gave birth to Boaz. Who did Boaz marry? Ruth. Esther, he may have wanted to, but it didn't work out. You know what I mean? No, he married Ruth. And then when he married Ruth, who did they give birth to? Obed. And then Obed, when he married, who did he give birth to? Jesse. And Jesse, who did he give birth to? Or she, his wife, who was that? King David. Jesus, the son of David. Matthew 1:5. You know what you're going to find in Matthew 1:5? You're going to find a woman who was a former prostitute who everyone looked at a failure. God said, you're not a failure. You'll never have that label. You're in the genealogy of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Loved one, listen to me. You don't let the world put a label on you. You don't let a mean husband put a label on you. You don't let the world or anyone. Your identity is not in your motherhood. Not in being the great wife, the great mother, though you should be, yes, because you have grace and divine power, but it's because you can stand up and say, listen, I'm not just a mother, I am more than a mother. I am a child of the living God. My heart has been sealed with the Holy Spirit, and it has been redeemed until the very end of time. Amen? Oh, that's what we need to always address, loved one. Now listen, turn with me to a very short Luke chapter 10, verse 38, and look, it's very short here. You know, we have a short sermon today. I could make it long, but you have no humor this morning. And now, let me repeat what I said earlier. The greatest thing that I can tell a mother has nothing to do with raising your children. That's important. Yes, oh dear, it's important. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. Now look at Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Jesus here going to his favorite home where he loved to hang out there in Bethany. And it happened, it says, as they, meaning Jesus and his disciples, they went that he entered a certain village. And again, that's Bethany. And a certain woman named Martha, you know her well, welcomed him into the house, into her house. She had a sister called Mary. She also sat at Jesus's where? Feet. And she heard his word. In the Greek, it would mean, and she could always continued to listen to the word of Jesus as she sat at his feet. Now listen, later we know this woman very well. She would anoint the feet of Jesus with her hair and for his burial. Also, Mary is seen three times in the Gospels, and every time we find her, she's always sitting at the feet of Jesus. In John's Gospel, it says in John 11:32, it says, Mary came where Jesus was, saw him, fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would have not died. She was sharing her heart with the Lord, but she did so at his feet. In John 12:3, it says, then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. So before she shared her heart, now she's worshiping the Lord. In all three of the times when you find Mary at the feet of Jesus, there's always fragrance. There's the fragrance in Luke here that will be food, of course. In John 11, there's the death of her brother. And then in John 12, there's the spikenard, the beautiful, incredible smell of fragrance, of perfume. Now, look at verse 40. But Martha was what? Distracted, man. She was pulled in all these different ways. She was a very busy lady with much serving. And she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Don't you love that? You know, like went to God, man. She went right to the Lord, you know. Therefore, tell her to help me. Can you imagine wanting to pull someone away from Jesus Christ? Is it sitting at the feet? No. Listen, it says she was distracted. So apparently, she'd been sitting there listening, you know, along with her sister. She got up and so forth because her mind was being pulled in all these different directions. Maybe that's the way you ladies feel. You know, you're pulled. How do I take care of my husband? How do I take care of my children? How do I take care of the home? How do I work all those hours? I have a career outside of the home. How do I homeschool? Or how do I, you know, soccer on Sunday? And how do I mow the yard? I got Becky a brand new lawnmower for Mother's Day. Self-propelled. Man, she loves it. Okay, no. Is that you? Are you that busy that you don't have time? And it's so easy, isn't it? It's never ending being a mother, being a wife, being whatever you do. You're busy, you're busy, you're busy. Not enough time for Jesus, not enough time for church. Look at verse 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Oh, Martha, Martha. Now, he's not condemning or beating her up as a very tender expression. Martha, Martha. You are so torn apart inside. That's what the word worried means. You're so worried. And look at this. You're not only worried, you're agitated. You're just vexed. You're upset in your heart. In other words, you're troubled. And he says, and about many things. You know, distraction, this and that, can steal from us, can it? From all of us, especially from busy mothers. Listen, you know, Martha was overflowing with worry, and she couldn't sit at the feet of the Lord, yet that's where her answer was. Do you know how powerful those distractions that come into your life, how they are? They're so powerful that here was, in our case, Jesus was in the literal home of Mary and Martha, and yet she was so busy it prevented her from sitting at the feet of Jesus, from listening to the Lord, the words that he was sharing. Martha missed out on all of that, yet Mary sat there and listened to the very words from the lips of the Savior himself. Now look what Jesus said. Let's go back to verse 41, read that in 42 together. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're so worried, troubled about many things. Now watch this. But how many things are needed? Moms, listen to me now on this Mother's Day. One thing. I didn't say it. Jesus the Lord has said it. But one thing is needed. That word means essential, absolutely necessary. And Mary, your sister Mary, has chosen the what? That good part, which will not be taken away from her. Now listen, Martha, yes, she opened up her home, but boy, I'll tell you, loved one, Mary opened up her heart. Many things in this life are important. There's no doubt about it. There's family, there's work, but I'm going to tell you something. One thing is needed. Mothers, it is your relationship with Jesus Christ is absolutely vital. It is one thing you can never put on the shelf. Amen? You can never say, well, I don't have time. No, your priorities must always be right. You have so much responsibility in this world, but you need to sit at his feet. See, you need to choose the good part that will never, say that word, never. It'll never, ever, ever be taken away from you. Just those three words. Mary is the mother's silent example. And you know what? Have you ever noticed that priorities, right priorities, they don't choose you? You have to choose them. They're a choice. That good part. Nothing is better than what Mary chose, and that is to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his words. I hope you did that this morning. Did you have time? I hope you're going to do it tomorrow morning. Will you make time? No, listen. Mary chose the part, the most important part. What is that? Listening to the Lord. In other words, that's the good part. It'll never be taken away. She was feeding her soul, not her flesh. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the what? Mouth of the Lord. Jesus is sitting there, standing, teaching right then. So what Mary chose is going to abide with her forever and ever and ever, because God's word never passes away. 1 Peter 1, I believe it is, 1:25. Listen, it's important for moms on this Mother's Day to remember, yeah, we need to serve, or you need to serve. All of us need to serve, especially the mothers today. Listen, serve with Martha's hands, but listen, love with Mary's heart. You know, working for Jesus, you know, and not taking time to commune with him is deadly. It's deadly. You cannot get in the pulpit. You cannot teach Sunday school. You cannot lead a group. If you do that, a prayerless ministry is a dead ministry. You must, no matter what. If I don't pray, if I miss, or my prayer time is interrupted, my day, Paul and I were talking about this a couple of days ago, your whole day is ruined. It just doesn't work. It doesn't flow right. That's why sitting at his feet is so, so important. Do you think that the Lord wanted Martha to do the same thing? Yes, of course he did. He wanted her to sit there. You know what? But she was busy, but she wasn't blessed. You can be a busy Christian. You can be so busy for the Lord that you burn out for the Lord. That's not what God wants you to do. She was constantly serving, but she was never listening. You must sit at the feet of Jesus. Now listen, I want to say something to you with a very tender heart right now. A short message this morning, but I know this is what the Lord gave me. You know, listen to me now, moms, and really all women. I don't know if Mary and Martha had a husband. We don't know. I think they probably did, but we don't know. And we're not told that they had any children running around the house and so forth. And you know, mothers, you know, you might have a great career outside the home. I praise God. See, you have to be led by the Spirit. You have to be led by the Word of God, not me. You understand? You have to do what you feel God's. It takes a lot of money to make ends meet today in the home, doesn't it? Yeah, listen, and you know what? But you may say, I am a stay-at-home mom, and that's where your faith is, and God is. Praise the Lord. Don't throw stones at anybody else. Do what you feel God's told you to do. And you know what? You may have a wonderful, loving, godly husband. Praise God for that. But let me tell you something that I have learned in my life, and that is life is seasonal. You understand? It's not forever. You know, sometimes when the power of God moves in, do you understand me? It's almost more than I can take. When I know his presence is here, it makes it difficult to talk. You see, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season. There is a fixed portion of time for us all. He says, Solomon writes, he says, a time for every purpose under heaven. Time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up what is planted. And then in verse 4, he says, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, time to gain, time to lose, time to love. That's life. That's life. Say amen. 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 That's life. Loved one, listen, the birth of babies, there's weddings, there's funerals, there's this and that. Listen, Life is a huge, incredible word. A to B, birth to death, and on to glory. And all that is mixed in within all of that. And life is filled and full of celebration, tears, joy, all kinds of living. But you know something? Mothers, listen. Careers end. Marriages sometimes end the wrong way, and then sometimes they end through death. You know, and sometimes, of course, your children, they're going to leave home in some season. That's our prayer, amen. We don't want them there when they're 50, you know. But the problem with all of that is all those things can be taken away from us, can't they? But Jesus, he promised, he said, this, Mary chose the good part that will never, ever, ever be taken away from her. That's the most important thing I can tell any woman, any mother on Mother's Day. When someone comes up to you, like I began my sermon, and I said, when someone comes up to you, and you know, please don't respond when asked, what do you do? In other words, please don't respond. Say, oh, I'm just a mother. I'm just a wife. I'm just a mom. No, you are more than a mother. You're more than a wife. Amen? However, you know, if you don't choose that, which will never take away, be taken away from you, then the next time somebody asks you, hey, what do you do? You should reply, oh, I'm just a mom, and that's all I am. We praise you and thank you for this day, for the word that you have given unto these fine women at Calvary and given to all of us. We love you and we thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless every family. Draw them so close and so near. Be with them in such a mighty, mighty way. Lord, may every woman sit at your feet. Take time to sit at your feet and listen to you so they can say, oh, no, I'm not just a mom. I'm a child of the living God. In Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Let's stand to our